Welcome to the Marketing Zone. I'm Marilyn Jenkins, and today we unlock the marketing that actually works. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to the Marketing Zone. I'm Marilyn Jenkins. Today we're looking at a part of marketing that many businesses underestimate, the quality of the message after someone gives you their attention. My guest today is Jeff Brandeis, a keynote speaker, presentation performance expert, and business communication strategist who helps leaders, executives, sales teams, and subject matter experts communicate with clarity, confidence, and influence in high-stakes environments. Jeff, welcome to the Marketing Zone.
Hey, thanks for having me here, Marilyn.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I actually started my career as an accountant, believe it or not, quickly found myself not enjoying my role in accounting and doing auditing. And I had a good friend of mine, David, who got me into the software business, and I kind of transitioned from being that kind of quiet, introverted accountant into a salesperson that began doing presentations and running a sales team, and now working with leaders to help them communicate and present better. So it's been kind of a whirlwind few years for me from when I first started my career to where I am now.
Fantastic. So let's talk about when a business has visibility but still struggles to convert attention into action, where do you usually see the communication breakdown?
You know, most businesses don't have an attention problem in my mind. They have what I like to call a clarity problem. They talk about the messaging, they talk about what they do, but you know, honestly, the consumer or the people listening to all that don't really understand what problem is being solved by the messaging, or how is it being delivered, or really what the next steps are. So we always like to kind of work with the people to really make sure that a third grader can really understand what you do and how you do it. And that's really keeping the attention of who you're speaking to.
I love that. I hadn't thought about that, the third grader thing. So how can leaders tell whether their message is clear enough for prospects to understand quickly and trust confidently?
You know, that's always a tough one. And a lot of times we run into situations where we always hear when you're talking to, or you're trying to sell somebody, oh, hey, let me go talk to my wife, or let me go talk to my partner to explain, to get permission, if you would, to move forward. So one of the things I always like to ask at that person who I'm speaking with is, so you're going to act as my salesperson, with all due respect. So if you don't mind, can you explain to me in one or two sentences what you're going to convey to your partner? Because if they're clear, then they can easily convey the message. But if they are unclear, or they get it mixed up and they don't kind of obviously understand what you're trying to explain to them, they will never be able to explain that to their partner, nor will the partner ever agree to spending X dollars with you. So the clearer conversation that they can relay back to you, that they understand everything that you basically explain to them, how the process works, what the value is, what they're getting, that will provide me the confidence that, okay, they got it, they understand it, and they can move forward with bringing their partner in. And if not, I would suggest, hey, let's do a group call. We can go through everything together and, make sure we're all on the same foot, same page.
I love that, because we all run into that, and let me talk to my partner, or let me talk to my spouse. It's always something like that when it comes to sales. So I love that, having them repeat it back to you, because, a lot of the times that's where the conversation ends.
That it does. And then if they don't understand what you're conveying to them, you're right. That's where it ends. And that's where you get ghosted. That's where you don't get replies back, because they don't really understand what they're buying, or what the value is to them. So it's always great at the end of the conversation is to, hey, let's just do a quick recap of what we just talked about. And I find so many people, when they're doing their and I don't care what your business is or what industry you're in, whether you're an accountant, you're a lawyer, you're a solo salesperson, so let me just recap the things that we just discussed and make sure that you don't have any questions or any concerns before we end the call. So I always like to, as opposed to just going, hey, thanks, I'll hear from you in a couple of days. Does that sound good? That should never happen. That should never be your next step. Your next step should be, let's recap, let's set another appointment as to follow through. and then make sure that the person doesn't have any concerns or issues.
That's a great way to end a sales call. I mean, I years and years ago started doing public speaking. And one of the things I was told is the way you lay it out is tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them, tell them what you told them.
Three times. Yep. Yeah, tell them in threes. People like to remember things in threes for some reason. So it's, you're right. You got to make sure they understand it. Tell it to them three times, three different ways, or sometimes three times the exact same way, as long as they can repeat it and understand it.
Yes, that's such a great idea. What do you think are the most common mistakes businesses make when they're trying to explain complex services or strategies or technology to buyers?
Ah, gosh, there's so many there. But typically what happens is it's all about me. I'm trying to sell them. I'm trying to sell them all my features that I do, all the things that will be great. And sometimes I actually even use acronyms of what we provide, and they're internal acronyms. And the people who are listening don't understand those acronyms. And we don't do a good job of really uncovering or doing a good discovery call up front. What's important to you as the person presenting isn't always the most important thing for the client that you're trying to bring on, that you're pitching to. So being able to really do first a great discovery call, and then focus your product or what you're supplying to them on their answers. Because again, don't talk jargon, don't talk acronyms. Go back to what we just talked about a little few minutes ago, is make it simple so that third grader can understand things. And if you got to explain what an acronym is, you've lost that person. So again, keep it simple. The old KISS theory, keep it simple, stupid, so to speak. But make it to that third grade level. And that will, again, it's not about me. It's about the person that you're talking to. That's where you have to focus that conversation on.
I think you're absolutely right when it comes to acronyms, because an acronym can mean something different to different industries. And if you're not explaining what you're talking about, and in technology, it gets even more complicated. So I think it's important, like you said, to break it down to just don't use the jargon. Be very clear, unless you know it's their jargon and they understand. That's one thing I find frustrating is when people take off on the letters and you're like, wait, what was that?
Exactly. And then if you have to explain those letters to somebody, and you know, you shouldn't have to explain or educate the person on your business or what you do internally. Your job is to meet their needs, understand what they're looking for, what their outcome is, and then match your outcome to what they're looking for.
I love that. Absolutely. And how do you think strong communication supports paid advertising, SEO, webinars, and other digital marketing efforts?
You know, it's fun. Most businesses I go to and I talk to, everyone says, I need more leads. Give me more leads. And then I find out they got plenty of leads. And that's what marketing does. And that's what the webinars do. And, you know, all the marketing efforts, leads come in the door. But what happens after those leads come in, it's the salesperson takes over. And now their communication determines what the next step is. It's what they say, what they do, what they understand, what they trust. And ultimately, based upon what you say and how you present your product, is ultimately how the person will take action. The better communication that you have improves the return on every marketing dollar. So typically, I don't see a lot of companies having marketing issues or lead issues. They got plenty. It's more of how they actually are communicating those people who will show the interest or raise their hands. And that's the biggest breakdown in most companies that I work with these days.
And what do you think about how storytelling in business communication, I mean, how important is that, you know, to communicate, you know, without sounding rehearsed or sales driven?
You know, stories sell, for lack of a better phrase, at the end of the day, especially when you can relate a story to a customer that you is very similar to the person you're speaking with. Because your prospective customer or your prospects want to know that you've done this before, that you've helped people in overcome the challenge that they're looking for. So bringing together a story that you've helped a person or a company overcome the same challenge they did, and explain what the process was and what the results were. That's really the biggest thing that a lot of people forget to add in there is you can tell a great story, but what I want to hear as a person listening to the salesperson is what was the results? What happened? What was the outcome? And along with that, a little bit, you know, not every story, success story went smoothly. Sometimes there's a little burp or a little hiccup. And I also like to be able to say, hey, this is how we overcame something or how you overcome a challenge that you might have had during that process.
I agree. I think making it, bringing it home, and stories do that for them. It simplifies the message as well. So marketing can create the opportunity, but communication definitely determines whether that opportunity becomes trust, engagement, and action. After the break, we're going to explore how presentations, webinars, and executive briefings can become true business goals, not just another item on the calendar.
We'll be right back with more tools, tactics, and truths to elevate your marketing. This is the Marketing Zone of Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Marilyn Jenkins, and you're watching the Marketing Zone on Now Media Television. Let's dive into our next breakthrough.
Welcome back to the Marketing Zone. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, leadership, marketing, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Before the break, Jeff Brandeis and I discussed how communication affects the way prospects understand and trust a brand. Now we're going deeper into presentations, webinars, executive briefings, and virtual events, places where businesses often have a high-value audience but miss the chance to move people toward a decision. Now, Jeff, before we jump into this, for the viewers who want to learn more about you, how can they connect with you?
Thank you for asking, Marilyn. So the easiest way they love to connect is they can go over to my website, which is engagingwebinars.com. They can scroll through it. And what we do is we actually turn presentations into predictable revenue. And in addition, if they like to just meet with me, complimentary, learn more about me, and I learn more about their business, they can go to speakwithjeff.com. And that will bring you directly to my calendar, find an open time slot. And I'd love to learn more and speak with you about what you're experiencing and how we can turn presentations into revenue.
Love that. Engagingwebinars.com. Great. So let's talk about presentations. What separates a presentation that merely shares information from one that actually drives business action?
You know, Marilyn, to me, information educates people. Transformation is what motivates the people. Great presentations help people see their problem differently and make it easier to make the next step to move forward doing business with you. So painting that story of helping people to see their problem, recognize their problem, and yes, you educate them, but you got to be able to motivate them to take action and to solve that problem so that they will move forward with you and your business.
Do you find case studies in a webinar is one thing that's very helpful, or
I do find
how
case
do you do that?
I'm sorry. I do find case studies helpful. Again, it's about being able to build that trust that everybody wants to learn more about you and that you've done this before with other people. And what you're doing when you build a case study or you present a case study is you build that credibility, you build the trust. And while you're explaining your story and the transformation of how you did that, testimonial, so to speak, or the case study, is they're learning to like you as well, because people will, obviously we've all heard, people will know from people who they know, like, and trust. And that's all part of the journey of what you need to do when you're doing a presentation. And that's so important to enforce that and just be normal and just try to build make believe you're having a conversation with your best friend and you're just having a casual conversation when you talk about your case studies.
I love that, because we all do webinars or educational events, and just making it talk like you're talking to your best friend. That's such a great advice. How should leaders design a webinar or an executive briefing if the goal is engagement, trust, and revenue, not just attendance?
Well, the goal should never just be about attendance. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, you want to be able to bring qualified prospects or clients to your webinar. And this isn't about what your agenda is. This isn't really what you want to achieve or what you want to be able to do. It's about really taking the audience through their journey of what they're experiencing today and being able to keep the people involved in your presentation. And you're building credibility through value. And you're going to lead naturally to really what the next call to action is or what the next step is. But you got to keep people engaged. It's so easy, especially if you're doing a webinar, for people to pick this up or to turn off the camera and, you know, just not listen to you anymore. So if you're not engaging your audience with questions, polls, things like that, then you're not going to lose them. I always like to say an engaged audience will definitely convert at a higher rate than a non-engaged one.
And do you suggest live streaming webinars as opposed to pre-recorded ones?
You know, there's a call for both. Okay. Yes, I think, you know, live webinars are fantastic, and it definitely gets the interaction going and be able to keep people engaged and poses the question. But not everyone is going to be able to make that webinar at that specific time, that specific date, because we all have meetings, we all have emergencies, we all have other things happening. So being able to have an automated webinar, or what we like to call an on-demand one, where someone that wasn't able to be or join your first webinar live can then watch it at their own convenience. So yes, we do recommend a follow-up sequence with a automated webinar attached, and that's one of the services that we actually provide as well. So that, you know, it becomes an on-demand when it's more convenient for the person to participate, to watch the webinar. They can do it when they're ready, as I said, because it's not always available for for everyone to make it when you want to do your live presentation.
Right. It's hard to find that sweet spot of time when, especially if you're like, say, a national company and, you know, you've got all the time zones.
Yes.
So thinking about your webinar, what roles do structure, pacing, and audience interaction play in keeping people emotionally and intellectually engaged?
So one of the things we talk about and we work with our presenters on is every 5 to 7 minutes to change the scene. Okay. Nowadays, most webinars, with all due respect to our listeners, they're so similar. I'll go 97 to 98% of the webinars are all the same. Hi, I'm Jeff. Welcome to my webinar. Can you hear me? Raise your hand. Okay, next thing they go is, okay, put into chat where you're calling in from. Okay, fantastic. And then they go to, all right, let me know when you see my slides. I'm going to share my screen. And then for the next 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, it's, with all due respect, it's death by PowerPoint, slide after slide after slide. And, you know, that's not going to keep your audience engaged. And you're going to need to be able to stop that, for lack of a better phrase. Get the audience involved every 5 to 7 minutes. Change the scene. Think of a webinar no different than you, you're watching TV. What keeps people engaged watching a TV is that it's constantly changing. There's constant movement. So, you know, if you're going to talk about a slide for 5 minutes, which again, you can keep your slides simple, but come back to yourself to full screen. And that's one of the things we also work on, is to have navigate a smooth webinar that you're not going to be fumbling too much with mouse clicks or showing your email as opposed to sharing your slides. So we've seen all that before, but it's got to be interactive. It's got to keep it moving and show some enthusiasm also when you present it.
Makes sense. Yeah. I hate it when I share the wrong screen and we're having that conversation. It's like, wrong screen.
It happens.
It does. It does. So how can sales teams and subject matter experts avoid overwhelming prospects with too much information too soon when you like that 5 minute slide?
What you need to do is really give prospects just enough information to understand your value and what their problem is. And especially when you're doing the webinar, you got 20 people that's in the room, you can't answer every single question because someone's going to take you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down to. But your job in a webinar is to get people interested. You're not trying to necessarily honestly sell them all the time, depending upon what your product is and what it was priced. You might have that sales at the end of the day, end of your webinar, and just try to sell a $97 product or maybe a $197 product. But if you're trying to sell something that's four or five, six figures, you're not going to close that person on the webinar. So your goal is to give them enough information that they understand more about you, and that you also understand what their problem is, and they can see value in booking the next conversation or going to the next call to action at the end of your webinar, which is so important.
Love that. And now, when someone only has 30 seconds to explain what they do, what should a great elevator message include?
It's who you help, the problem that you solve, and the results that basically that you provide them, along with a time frame. Ideally, if you can cover those four things in 30 seconds, you're gold. And a lot of people don't realize you can say a lot in 30 seconds, and you can say a lot of people give you a minute. So you might have a minute at times to do that. You can get your message out in under a minute, and you can be that clear, that concise. That is what's going to resonate. And
So Jeff, when someone has 30 seconds to explain what they do, what should a great elevator message contain?
A great elevator message should contain who you help, the problem that you solve, and the results that you can provide, and typically a time frame. So you got 30 seconds. You'd be surprised how much you can actually say in 30 seconds. And I always suggest to people to practice this, rehearse it, fine tune it, and in 30 seconds you can definitely, with clarity, explain to somebody exactly what you do and how you do it.
And for example, you were saying that you wouldn't do like, "Hi, my name is Marilyn, this is what I do." How would you start to be different?
So everyone typically starts, "Hi, I'm Jeff, and I help entrepreneurs with better presentations." Okay. And then you begin to sound like, with all due respect, everyone else in the room. So one of the things I always like to bring to someone's attention is what I call a whiplash. So it's something to get the people's attention. So for example, I might do something like, three minutes. Hey folks, that's all you got is 3 minutes to keep somebody from picking up their phone or turning off their camera while they're watching your webinars. Why? Because you did nothing to engage them. At Engaging Webinars, we present and we show you how to keep people engaged, how to turn a passive audience into a engaging audience. And we do that through our training, our Engage framework. So book a call and let's learn more, and go to speakwithjeff.com to learn more about what we do.
Wow. That's okay. Everybody work on your elevator pitch. That makes a big difference. A strong presentation is not just a performance. It's a strategic marketing moment that can clarify value, build confidence, and accelerate the buyer decision. Coming up next, we're going to discuss how leaders can turn communication into a scalable system so messaging does not depend on one person's natural charisma.
We'll be right back with more tools, tactics, and truths to elevate your marketing. This is The Marketing Zone on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Marilyn Jenkins, and you're watching The Marketing Zone on Now Media Television. Let's dive into our next breakthrough.
Welcome back to The Marketing Zone. I'm Marilyn Jenkins, and I'm here with Jeff Brandeis. And we talked about visibility and presentations. Now we're looking at what happens when the message is delivered, the systems, follow-up, and repeatable communication practices that help businesses turn interest into measurable growth. So Jeff, how can a company make its message repeatable across leadership, sales, marketing, and customer-facing teams?
Marilyn, at the end of the day, it's really about everyone needs to be able to communicate with the same core message. The words could vary a little bit, but the problem, the outcome, and the value has to be consistent across every conversation. You can't have one person saying one outcome and a totally different person talking about a totally different outcome and what the different values are. Messaging needs to be clear, needs to be resonating throughout the organization. And honestly, it's up to that leader who's leading the charge, the VP or the manager, to make sure that everyone is communicating the same message consistently throughout the organization, as well as what they communicate externally. Because when you start talking about different values, different messaging, and different problems and different outcome, that's where people get confused. Your customer gets confused and they don't know the left side, the right side. What am I buying here? Because everyone's telling me a different story. So having that consistent core message is imperative for every organization and every company, even if you're a solo entrepreneur.
Good points. Yeah, it's, you have to have everybody speaking the same language, and it's beyond culture. It's the messaging, the core messaging.
It does become your culture, really, at the end of the day, Marilyn, and I believe this wholeheartedly. You know, your culture is what you're going to talk about. Because when you talk about something that you really believe in and everyone's on the same page, your tone is different. The way you talk is different. And that begins to resonate, and your buyer and your clients will feel that culture in you. And that's what they're going to really begin to learn and trust about you. It's because you believe in what you're saying and you're passionate about what you're delivering.
And how should businesses align their communication before, during, and after a high-stakes presentation or a campaign?
Everything should always be aligned. And again, I think some of this goes back to what we a little bit talked about earlier, is that everything goes back to messaging and the follow-up and what's afterwards and what's the reinforcement that we're all on the same page. Asking your client to, hey, just what'd you learn today on the webinar? Get some input from the people and see what their most valuable takeaway was. And making sure that the buyers are not confused, as we also talked about before. Because really, at the end of the day, a confused buyer, they won't buy. They don't make decisions. And if you're inconsistent in your messaging, that also weakens your trust. And the lower is the conversion rate. So all this goes into your sales process. It's I always like to say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So be cognizant of those words and how you're actually describing things to your clients and prospects.
And speaking of the communication, what is your theory about maybe at the end or in the follow-up after a presentation is, say, a free guide or free checklist or something that helps resonate, bring back the presentation to their space?
It's always great to provide something back as a free bonus or a guide, because really at the end of the day, what you want to do is be able to keep them engaged. So if you can provide them a free PDF at the end of your webinar, and what you also need to have is, besides the PDF, is have a little bit of a landing page where they enter in their name, their email, and maybe even ask for their phone number if you want to go bold, or just don't make the phone number mandatory. But you want to capture their information that they actually went in and they requested a download, because that becomes part of your follow-up. And Marilyn, you know this from a marketing perspective, those emails, those names, they're golden. And the fact that they gave you that information is valuable. So you should always offer something at the end of value to provide to your listeners who attended your webinar or your presentation. So that way they'll remember you and they have something that they'll look back at and go, oh yeah, I remember Jeff's presentation, and I appreciate him giving me this document that will now help me.
I love that, because what we do is we do, like we said before, webinars on LinkedIn, a LinkedIn newsletter. We don't own that traffic. We don't own those names. So the only way you can get that into your sphere is with a landing page. Give something away, get their name and email, hopefully their phone number. And I love that. I love that. I'm all about giving something away at the end of a training session.
For sure.
So where do you see follow through fail most often when it comes to webinars, briefings, or sales presentations?
Oh, around that laugh. Because it just gets me in my gut when I'm on the presentation. Some presentations are great, some aren't so great, but how you end that presentation is so important. I've seen so many presentations where, hey, everyone, I'm glad that everyone was here, able to make it, that I was able to convey some key points. Hey, here's my email. Follow back up with me when you wish. Have a great day.
Okay.
You know, that's not a call to action. That's where you're throwing things out to somebody and you're expecting them to follow back up with you. it's your role at the end of a presentation for you to create the compelling next step to continue building on the momentum after the presentation. It's not a, here's my email, let me know. It's, hey, and we just talked about this, here's a link so you can learn more about us and about what we do, and you have the name and email. Or your call to action is, here's my calendar link, let's book a call and let's learn more about each other. And at every meeting or every presentation, whether it's a webinar or you're face-to-face or you just met someone for coffee, it's always what I always like to call, you are controlling what the next action step is. If you don't ask for what the next action step is and you just say, hey, thanks for meeting me today, there's no next action step. So always at the end of a webinar, you create what you want as the next action step.
I agree. No, don't leave them hanging. And I agree with you. I hate it whenever it's like that. It's either that or it's the, you know, 14 steps of how much something costs to get it. That's the other one I hate. Make it simple, teach, make them a good offer. How do you help organizations create communication culture where everybody represents the brand consistently?
It's really working with the team to make sure that their communication skills and what they're learning and what they're conveying is consistent. And as much as we all don't like having someone to ask you what you do and how you do it to give it back to me, you know, that's part of role playing. It's part of scripting. It's part of every organization's culture to do this. Because as we talked about earlier, the words that we convey has to be consistent. The messaging needs to be consistent. But I'm not saying don't script every word or every message, but give the people a clear framework and talking points that they can then put into their own authentic voice and be able to describe or explain what you do and how you do it. So the messaging is basically, it's still the same message, it's the same results, but I put it into the words that I like and what I can convey and that I understand and I can remember. So at the end of the day, it's one of the things I think that we've gotten away from, honestly, during COVID and post-COVID, is role-playing and being able to really practice speaking with each other. And we never all like to do a presentation in front of our peers, but if you can present in front of your peers and present back to the people who you're most afraid to talk to, then you're well prepared to go talk to that prospect or that client about what we do and how we do it.
I think you're right. I think we have gotten away from role playing, and that is such a great tool. So let's think about AI. How can AI tools help businesses improve communication without losing that authentic human connection that people expect?
Well, you know, AI is entering our world in presentations for sure. You definitely can. I was getting some feedback. You want to redo that question?
Okay, let me ask it again.
We lose them?
I don't know. Let me ask you again. Are you hearing the echo now?
No, but I heard it for like the 10 seconds while I was talking.
Okay. Jeff, how can AI tools help business improve communication without losing the authentic human connection that people still expect?
So AI is definitely having a role in today's marketplace and definitely with webinars and creating slides as well. But as I always like to talk to people, the A is artificial. It can't create that feeling. It can't create that emotion. It can't create that trust that we all want to have when we're talking to a customer or a prospect. So at the end of the day, it's still being able to convey that clear framework to people and the talking points around that. And yes, artificial intelligence can create the messaging for you. But if you start to sound like artificial intelligence and you start to basically just become a talking robot, that's not what people want. People want that human touch. People want to be able to know that you truly understand their problem. Because if you do become that that robot, you're not going to be able to deliver. And that feeling of passion that you have deep inside of you will come through is that you're just a rehearsed robot. So you can take the some of the words and some of the things that artificial intelligence provides to you, but still make it your own, make it yours, and make it that you own it.
I agree. It's great to help you get your content organized, but definitely has to make it your own voice. Sustainable growth requires more than a great moment on stage or on screen. It requires a communication system that helps the whole organization speak with clarity, consistency, and purpose. When we return, we'll bring the conversation home with practical steps business owners can use to improve influence, trust, and measurable outcomes.
We'll be right back with more tools, tactics, and truths to elevate your marketing. This is the Marketing Zone of Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Marilyn Jenkins, and you're watching The Marketing Zone on Now Media Television. Let's dive into our next breakthrough.
Welcome back to The Marketing Zone. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, leadership, marketing, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to the Marketing Zone. Today, Jeff Brandeis and I have been exploring how business communication, presentations, and follow-through can become powerful drivers of marketing performance and business growth. In this final segment, we're focusing on the habits and next steps leaders can apply immediately. So Jeff, what should business owners evaluate first if they want to know whether their current communication is helping or hurting their growth?
You know, most leaders look at sales, whether or not it's doing well. For me, that's not what's going to be really true measurement of where people stop moving forward. What you need to be measuring is where prospects are not taking the next step. There's usually a communication gap at that point, and it's not just a marketing problem. So in other words, if you're doing webinars, at what point are you beginning to lose your prospects or your attendees? What point are they not listening? If you're doing on-demand webinars, at what point do they actually drop off the automated webinar and not paying moving forward? Is it in the middle? Is it three quarters of the way? Is it your offer at the end that people are not moving forward? So these are all touch points that you should be managing, you should be focused on, and you most importantly, be measuring, because that's going to tell you whether or not if you have what your communication problem is, or where it's helping, or where you're stopping, or where you're losing your clients. And most companies don't measure anything except show-ups and sales. And there's so much more that they have to be measuring that they haven't even thought about.
Good points. You're right. And there's so many platforms. And I know your platform helps you measure where someone dropped out of the webinar, what their duration of staying in, and did they have any chats and any interaction, that sort of thing. So that is an interesting point to track.
Definitely. And if they're not tracking it, it's, you know, again, how many people are answering the questions that you're posing? How engaged are they? When do they turn their cameras off? When do they actually leave your webinar? Or those type of things. Those are more telling to me than, you know, a sale. I mean, yes, it's great to have the sales, don't get me wrong. But if you had 25 people, for example, on your webinar, and you sold two, and you found out that most of them left three quarters of the way through before they even had the opportunity to even see your offer, there's something in your presentation that's not resonating, and that's causing them to leave. And that's the gap. That's the point in time that you need to fix. If you lost 40% of your prospects at 75% of the way through, and they don't even hear your price, they don't even hear what you're offering. And yeah, you might've gotten two sales, so congratulations, but you still lost the bulk of your audience way before that. And what you need to have happen is have 80%, 90% of your audience stay till the end. And if you get to 100, that's obviously fantastic, but some will naturally leave earlier. But at the end of the day, getting that over 80% of your audience to stay till your offer, it's imperative. And that's when you will convert at a higher rate than what you're doing today.
That's a great percentage. I don't think I've ever had 80% of my webinar people stay through the end. So got to check my messaging. So, how can leaders build more confidence in their presenting when they're presenting their ideas and their services and strategies in these high-stakes situations?
Marilyn, confidence comes from preparation, and it's not your personality. When you're clear in your messaging and you actually do what we talked about before, you practiced it, you delivered it, that naturally will bring confidence, will follow and will flow easier. So it's, get in front of a mirror or and practice, or get on Zoom and practice, or talk to one of your best friends and just get on a call and practice. Practice makes perfect. There's a I'm from New York, as most people can figure that one out. There's an old joke that we used to have in New York is, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And this isn't a directional GPS joke. The best way to get to Carnegie Hall is practice, practice, practice. And that also conveys true in sales, in delivering a webinar or presentation. And it's no different than whether you're playing sports, you're a entrepreneur, practicing your pitch, practicing your craft. That's how you get better.
I agree. I think practice is incredibly important. You know your message. You know what, you're an expert at what you do, and then being able to communicate it with the stress of being on camera. Whether you're pre-recording and nobody's there, there's still that stress of being on camera, and so many people just freeze up thinking, "Oh, I see myself. What am I going to say?" And you just kind of lose your focus. So practice, practice, absolutely.
For sure.
So, what communication habit has the biggest impact on trust with prospects, clients, and internal teams?
A lot of times I think, we know what the questions that the prospects are going to ask because we've heard them before. But before you start to answer the questions, or you cut the prospect off, which is one thing I always tell you people don't do, let the person finish their question. And then before you actually begin to give an answer, repeat the question and make sure that you are on the same page. So let me understand, this is what you're asking. Okay. People will feel more understood. They'll be more receptive as they become to learning more about your ideas and your recommendations. Of course, now you're taking a true interest in them. You spent the time to listen to them, and you spent the time to repeat the question. And they also, by repeating the question, even though you might know the answer really quickly, but it gives you that opportunity to kind of maybe think about how you might want to say that differently, or how you want to rephrase it, because maybe the client or the prospect asked you that question a little differently than what you might have heard before. So repeating the question gives your brain the opportunity to think about it a little further before you actually answer it. And that will build more trust than you ever imagined with your prospects.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Repeating the question, always make sure that you understood it first.
Correct.
So, what is one action that our viewers can take this week to make their next business conversation more clear, engaging, and influential?
Oh boy. I think the question that they should ask themselves is the audience thinking about themselves, or are they thinking about me? Is my message focused on their problem and their outcome instead of me? And you'll immediately communicate a lot more effectively. A lot of people begin their webinars or their presentations with 5 minutes of explaining your history of your company, what you've done in your career, and how successful you've been, and how many clients we got, and how many testimonials you all got. And you know what? Most of the people on the other side at the moment, especially when you're in your first 5 minute, with all due respect, they don't really care, because they want to know, what's in it for me? Have you earned my trust to begin my that presentation, that webinar? So understanding what their needs are and why they're there, it's not what's in it for me as the presenter, it's what's in it for you, them as the attendees, because they're giving you the most valuable thing in their life, which is their time. So give it to them, make it all about them, and not make it all about yourself and your company.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense, because so many webinars you've been into, it just starts with a 5 minute drone. I was on a podcast one time and the guy talked for almost 7 minutes before he introduced me. I'm like, why am I here? Okay.
Yeah, no one really cares these days. I mean, honestly, what I tell presenters is if you more than likely your attendees of your webinar, they already know about you. They've done the research, they've Googled you, they went to your LinkedIn, they know more about you and your company than you think, or you might even know about yourself because they've done their homework, right? At the end of the day. So just telling them everything that they already know or that they might probably research already, you're losing valuable time and that of taking away from really why they're there. So, I mean, and typically I don't talk about myself in my webinar until a good 10 minutes in, because I want to be able to build that trust right up front. I want to be able to earn their value of, and keep them engaged with me. So I don't even talk about my history when I do my own webinar until I'm about 10, 15 minutes in. And then even then, 3 minutes, that's all it is about myself. Again, they're not here to listen to my biography, my resume. They want to know again what's in it for them.
Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time on that in my webinars either. It's just I want to build value, say what are you doing today? Why? And then quick about me and then move on. Let's do what we came here for. Yeah. 'Cause they can find out everything I'm going to say on my LinkedIn profile anyway.
Very
So,
true.
no need to being redundant. So, one quick thing that how could leaders look at their messaging across the board? What would be the one thing that you would look at if you'd say just check this out today?
Check out your engagement and having making sure you have more qualified conversations with by having better conversion rates, shorter sales cycles, and fewer stalled opportunities. The watch the business metrics around engagement. And the higher you can engage with your audience, get them to participate, you will find out you'll have fewer stalled opportunities, you'll have more sales, you have more conversions, and more people will take your call to action at the end, provided you do it correctly. So that's a very important metric I would talk about and encourage all leaders to be able to improve in their marketing and sales outcomes is what's my conversions? What are my metrics?
I love it. Jeff, for our viewers who want to learn more about you, how can they connect with you?
So they're welcome to go visit our webinar, our webpage, our website at engagingwebinars.com, and you'll learn more about what we do, how we do it, and how we actually turn presentations into a more engaged audience to get them involved very easily and very quickly. And then if you'd like to book a call, complimentary, so we can learn more about each other, just go to speakwithjeff.com. Love to have a, that's my calendar link right there. And that's also one other point I always like to pull out and recommend, and I'll do one last recommendation for people. Make your calendar link or your calendar link very easy to communicate, as opposed to putting a string of calendly.com and so da da. You know, go get a domain like I bought speakwithjeff.com and just redirect it to your calendar. It makes life so much easier to communicate that way when someone wants to book a call.
Love that. Jeff, thank you for joining us on the Marketing Zone. This conversation reminds us that marketing does not end when someone sees an ad, visits a website, joins a webinar, sits through the presentation. That's often where the real communication work begins. To everyone watching, clear communication can change the way people understand your value, trust your expertise, and decide to move forward. I'm Marilyn Jenkins, and this is the Marketing Zone. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.